tourism officials tell us that St. Petersburg has turned into one of the biggest international cultural attractions in Florida. We'll hear why. This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of BayCare Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. BayCare's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at baycareevents.org.
I'm Robin Sessingham. I recently moderated a panel discussion for Florida Matters at the St. Petersburg Conference on World Affairs called Arts Mecca, International Cultural Tourism in the Sunshine City, where I talked with experts about how to draw culture lovers from around the world to the Tampa Bay area. Today on Florida Matters, we'll hear highlights from that conversation. Our guests include Michael Francis, music director of the Florida Orchestra, Kristen Shepherd, director of the Museum of Fine Arts, Susanna Weymouth, executive director of Tampa Bay Businesses for Culture and the Arts, and Leroy Bridges, head of digital marketing and public relations with Visit St. Pete Clearwater. And by the way, Visit St. Pete Clearwater is an underwriter for NPR. We start by hearing each panelist briefly talk about what they do and how it relates to international visitors in St. Petersburg.
I'm Kristen Shepherd. I'm the executive director of the Museum of Fine Arts, St. Petersburg. And it is such a pleasure to be on this panel talking about St. Petersburg as a cultural mecca, because I have returned to St. Petersburg after about a 30-year hiatus. I spent my childhood in this area, and it's been wonderful for me to fall in love with St. Petersburg again through the arts. At the Museum of Fine Arts, we get visitors from all over the world, and I've welcomed just in the past few weeks a delegation from Macedonia, from Japan, from all over Europe, Australia, visitors from all over the United States as well. And I think one of the things that attracts them to St. Petersburg at the Museum of Fine Arts is that we do have an encyclopedic collection. We are the only museum in our area that has a collection spanning from ancient art all the way through to contemporary art. So as an encyclopedic collection, we're not limited to telling the stories that are just about one particular movement in art or one particular artist. We have the freedom to tell all the stories across the entire history of art and the whole human expression. What the MFA does especially well is to connect people to global points of view and to diverse experiences through art. In a time when the world can feel so divided, facilitating connections between people and bridging gaps in understanding, this is really important, noble work, and the arts are uniquely positioned to do that. Pretty soon, this is a project I'm very excited about. Our visitors are going to be able to experience an impressive work of art from second century Antioch. There are five mosaics in our collection that were acquired in the 1960s from Princeton University. Princeton did a dig in the 1930s in Antioch. The five mosaics in our collection were part of the original antiquities collection at the Museum of Fine Arts. Two of those mosaics were buried in the yard of the museum decades ago, and we're about to excavate and restore those mosaics. So there is a true archaeological dig that's going to happen starting in about 2 weeks' time. This mosaic project is especially exciting to me because it allows us to start a timely conversation in our community about world heritage and our shared responsibility to conserve and understand the significance of objects and artifacts that are at risk. Remember, these mosaics come from a part of the world where ISIS has systematically tried to destroy artifacts and works of art. So it is an especial privilege for us to share in that responsibility in world heritage by caring for and learning and sharing these kinds of artifacts with our community. It's very exciting for us to see all the energy around arts and cultural institutions in the Tampa Bay area. And it's also a place where a lot of contemporary artists are working and living in our community. So the energy around arts and culture is being magnified over time. So our job is to keep that momentum going. I see two ways for us to continue to grow Tampa Bay's relevance and stature as a culture destination. First, it's up to us as arts organizations and institutions to create relevant and compelling exhibitions and programs that get us on a visitor's must-do, must-see list. At our museum, that's everything from our Star Wars exhibition to an upcoming program we're doing about the visual history of protest in America. There couldn't be anything more timely. Then, we need to continue to work with local government and with our tourism groups like Visit St. Pete Clearwater to make sure we get the word out so that people know how rich this area is in cultural opportunities.
Thank you. Kristen Shepherd, thank you. We have Susanna Weymouth. She's Executive Director of Tampa Bay Businesses for Culture and the Arts.
Welcome. TBBCA was founded on the philosophy that the arts are good for business and business is good for the arts. We're one of 11 national business committees for the arts, and we're part of the private sector network of Americans for the Arts. So we've been around for a long time, and I have been aware of my esteemed colleagues' institutions for even longer. I was one of those international cultural tourists. Some of you may know my better half, Jan Weymouth. He was at the time chief of design of the Louvre. So every day I was in the Louvre. And my parents, who were summering in Florida, on the West Coast, on the Gulf, they're Cuban, they were like, the waters are really warm, come and visit. They said, we want to take you to a museum. And there we were coming from Paris and the Louvre. And we're like, you're kidding. We really thought it was a joke. They're like, no, we have to take you to the Museum of Fine Arts. And indeed, they were right. It is a true cultural jewel. And coming from the Louvre, I can tell you that that's, you know, we must not take our cultural institutions for granted. Then after Paris, we moved to London. And my parents again said, oh no, we need to take you to the orchestra. We're like, we live right down the street on Primrose Hill from one of the world's most famous conductors. They're like, no, you have to hear this Florida orchestra. Well, years later, the Florida Orchestra is such a quality orchestra that it has managed to attract the superstar that is Maestro Michael Francis. So how fortunate are we? And this is what TBBCA has been trying to do for nearly three decades, is convince business leaders that they should pay attention to my parents and to the importance of international cultural tourism. The arts are a huge industry in the United States. There was an arts and economic prosperity study recently conducted by Americans for the Arts nationwide, and it showed that just the nonprofit arts and cultural industries generate over $166 billion with a B dollars of economic activity every year. As well, there's another $102 billion generated by ancillary expenditures. So what are those? Those are what local and international cultural tourists spend. And that does not include the price of admission. So we're talking dinners, drinks, the new tie that you bought for your husband because you're taking him to go to hear Michael Francis and the orchestra, the new dress that I had to get for the opening at the MFA, and all these other things. So the revenue is feeding into, directly into, small businesses and our community and making them stronger and more prosperous. As well, what incredible brands we have here in our cultural jewels. And how smart is it for a business to support the Florida Orchestra? Many of our businesses that are represented on our board do so because it's a fabulous co-branding opportunity. Our businesses are looking to support exhibitions at the Museum of Fine Arts. Why? When you say, wow, I'm XYZ business, and you have, by the way, clients that are coming to visit you from all over the world, and you take them to show them that you're more than just a localized business. Look what we have here in this area. It makes you look better. So I think it is long overdue for all of the community to put some muscle behind the support that we should be giving to the MFA, to the Florida Orchestra, to our other museums, to our other arts and cultural movements, including the smaller galleries, including the smaller movements of dance that's happening. The Palladium, which is part of USF and, you know, very close by and doing some interesting programming. So these are all things that we need to highlight and that we need to support.
You're listening to highlights from a recent panel discussion that Florida Matters hosted on cultural tourism at the St. Petersburg Conference on World Affairs. We just heard from Kristen Shepherd, director of the Museum of Fine Arts, and Susanna Weymouth, director of the Tampa Bay Businesses for Culture and the Arts. We'll hear more from the other panelists as well as a brief Q&A when we return in just a moment. I'm Robin Sessingham, and this is Florida Matters. We're listening to highlights from our recent panel discussion at the St. Petersburg Conference on World Affairs about cultural tourism in the area. Now we'll hear from our remaining panelists, Michael Francis, music director of the Florida Orchestra, and Leroy Bridges with Visit St. Pete Clearwater. And then we'll move into the Q&A. Let's hear some of Michael Francis's remarks.
What's it like to be international coming to St. Petersburg? Well, having come from Memphis, as you can clearly tell. So when I first arrived here as a guest conductor with the Florida Orchestra, I was really blown away by the quality of the orchestra. I didn't know what to expect coming here. And getting to see the halls, getting to see the people, getting to realize that we reach a metropolis of around 2.5 to 3 million people, it really hit me that there is something very, very special going on here. And in some ways, I felt that, well, I wanted to come here because I want to make sure that we build a station where the train is heading. And that's what's happening here in Tampa Bay. This is one of the most exciting places in North America. And for me, one of the great qualities is that how do you make St. Petersburg culturally international? It's through partnerships. On its own, it doesn't work. Berlin has recognized that the reason they're pumping more money into the culture than they can possibly afford is because they realize that cultural tourism is their biggest income. The Philharmonic, the museums, all the galleries, all the history. So here, what do we have here? Well, we have something spectacular. We have this glorious Dalí Museum. We have the Museum of Fine Arts. We have the Morian Collection. We have the Florida Orchestra. And when we work together, this is something very exciting. Last year, we had a concert which we celebrated Dalí's work in music, and we combined the two together. We just had the Star Wars concert, which was celebrating the museum's fabulous collection as well. And Kristen and I had breakfast last week at Oxford Exchange in Tampa, making great Machiavellian plans for the future to unite and take over the world over an omelette. But it's absolutely true that when you partner up together, amazing things happen. In the Florida Orchestra, we care enormously about the community, and I think what's really important is that the key to cultural excellence is that excellence. Play the music at the highest possible level. We sold 100,000 tickets last year, which is a great statistic, but we played to 80,000 people for free on top of that. That's the one I feel proud of. We take the music into the hospitals, we take it into the retirement centers, we take it to all the people who cannot come to us. So is that international? I don't know. But is it excellent? Yes. And why? If music matters and we believe it matters, then we must take it to those who cannot come to us. And why does it matter? Well, it helps us to understand ourselves. Music can bypass the intellect and go straight into the heart. We know that. That's why we have a visceral, emotional response to a concert. It can immediately draw us to tears. The ear grew inside the fetus 7.5 months before the eye. If I say to you now, close your eyes, you can all close your eyes. Would you mind closing your ears? Would you mind not listening to me right now? It's impossible. You have no choice. Not because I'm magnetic, but because you can't close your ears. And therefore, orchestra and sound and music helps us to understand the sounds around us. It is essential in that thing. It is so important, has an edifying quality, has an entertaining quality, has an enriching quality, but it helps us to understand who we are. It is that mirror to help us empathize. So I think, how do we become culturally excellent? We make sure there are many institutions. The orchestra is only one, and then we bring in international superstars. Last week we had the world's greatest trumpeter, Håkon Hardenberger. There is no one better, or there's never been anyone better. He came here and was amazed by the orchestra. Before that, we had a fantastic German cellist come along. This week we have a Cuban pianist. In my orchestra, I just hired somebody who was the principal trombone of the Orchestra National de France. He came down here and said, this is fantastic, I want to join. This is something outstanding. So the way that we do it, we work together, we showed complete excellence, and that when people come, they know that if you come to the orchestra, well, let's celebrate the Dali, let's celebrate the museum, let's draw attention to each other, not to be in competition, and to recognize that the arts are not peripheral. So St. Petersburg is outstanding, so is Tampa Bay, the whole area. There is something international happening right here. That's why I built my life here and just moved into a brand new home. And it's not because my wife's from Lutz, it's because of what's going on culturally. It's because of what is happening. Let's be like Berlin. Let's make cultural tourism the main attraction.
Leroy Bridges is head of digital marketing and public relations for Visit St. Petersburg Clearwater.
Visit St. Pete Clearwater is a department of Pinellas County government. We are funded by what we call bed tax or tourist development tax. When you talk about partnerships, that's at the top of our list. We have a lot of them. We have public relations agencies in the UK and Central Europe. We have China as well. And their main task is making sure that that the largest publications in those parts of the world know about St. Pete Clearwater and everything that we offer. We're the third most popular destination in the state, behind only Mickey and Miami, drawing 6.3 million visitors. Those are paying overnight visitors in 2016. For us, the brand is about beaches and arts. People ask us often, how much marketing do you do for the beaches or how much do you do for arts? And that's an impossible question to answer because they are fused together. It's a good thing. It's a great thing. It's a differentiator. There are some amazing beaches in the state of Florida, but there aren't any other communities in the state of Florida. And we say this all the time as we travel the world and we market the destination that can position an arts and culture scene alongside America's best beaches. When we talk about international, we get about a little less than 2 million international visitors a year. If we had the choice, we would replace all 6.3 million with international visitors. And the answer to why is the international visitor will stay longer and spend more. And one of our mantras, we could kind of care less about quantity of people. You want a higher paying visitor, right? So if you can still draw 6.3 million people, not increase the number, but increase the spend, the economic impact, that's what we're after. That's what we're about. We're a peninsula on a peninsula that's built out and has enough traffic. We don't want more people. We want higher spending people. So that's really our objective. And we've accomplished that. Over the last 5 years, the average daily rate for hotel rooms in the destination has increased by more than 50%. And occupancy, the number of visitors, is increasing at a much slower rate. And so we're accomplishing that goal of getting slightly more people, but really getting them to pay more for the same product than they were 5 years ago. And obviously, that's a huge credit to the growing and burgeoning art scene and the amazing beaches that we pair side by side so people can be inspired to travel here. Airlines really drive. They're at the heart of travel. That's really at the crux of international visitation. If you don't have a direct flight, it really makes it challenging to market to that area.
What countries are these international cultural tourists coming from?
At the county level, we know about 1.1 million are from Europe. That breaks down into about 60% from the United Kingdom specifically. The rest from...
We have wonderful taste.
There we go. And at the heart of that is amazing air service. We have direct daily service out of Gatwick. Again, it goes... A lot of times when we start to look at statistics of international visitation, there's a flight attached to that. The German market is our second largest. There is a direct Lufthansa flight into Frankfurt. Canadians do exist in this mix. We oftentimes don't consider them international visitors because they're North America. A lot of them do drive. I mean, there's some other complicated, they matter, trust me.
Did you just say they drive?
Yes, they do.
From Canada?
Yeah, it's amazing the number of Canadian plates you see in the destination. That's a real thing. So, UK, number one, Germany, slightly thereafter, and Latin America is a huge growth opportunity for us. We're seeing some incredible gains. There's 5 times a week service on Copa Airlines out of Panama, at least for our map, that's kind of what it breaks down to. Obviously, there's a whole host of others, but it's too negligible to really to track for us.
Aviation is kind of a limiting factor for you right now as far as the international.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the more flights, the better. We work very closely with Tampa International in developing these flights. At the top of that list and expanding those new airlines and new routes, Mexico, more into Latin America, hopefully some announcements coming shortly. And Florida still doesn't have a flight from China, a direct flight, which is a big deterrent from growing that market. That shoe has to fall first.
We have a question from someone in the audience for Michael Francis about electronic music, which does have a big international component, the development of electronic music, and whether that has affected the development of the current classical music scene.
One of the things that we do, our pop series is huge, and that goes through all the different styles. Our youth concerts, we had music by Mason Bates, and a very exciting American composer, which has electronica in it. So I think what we always have to make sure is that we, as an orchestra, are not just a mausoleum celebrating the music of dead people, but actually very much alive and looking at the time we're in right now. So with electronic music, yes, we do a lot, but I think what we have to first of all is be a superb, outstanding symphony orchestra. We can have electronic stuff on the periphery and things that we do and reflect that in some pieces if composers choose to use it. But above all, the most important thing is be the best at what you can be.
Okay. For Kristen Shepherd, how did the mosaics come to be buried, and how did the museum find out about them?
I love this question. This is one of the questions I get asked very often about our mosaic project. The mosaics were buried decades ago, and there are a number of theories as to how and why this happened, and the truth is I don't know. I do know that about a month into my tenure as the new executive director, I learned about these mosaics because I have a great passion for ancient art. And so naturally, when you're the director, you say, well, I want to see them. Where are they? Where are they in storage? And that's when I learned that one of them was safely in storage. One of them is in the fountain in our membership garden where it should not be. So it will also be excavated and restored as part of this project. And that two of them were buried. And I was astonished by this information, as you can well imagine. But it does give us a really wonderful opportunity to share the entire process, really, literally unearthing in an archaeological style dig with one of the top conservators in the world for ancient art.
We have a comment that as schools' arts budgets are being cut or becoming smaller, that parents are really the teachers of arts to their kids. And what is the Pinellas arts community doing to help parents direct their kids to music, art, or theater?
I'm happy to speak to this. This is something that we're extremely proud of. We're in partnership with the Pinellas County Schools. Every sixth grade student comes to the Museum of Fine Arts as part of their social studies curriculum. This is a program that I think is incredibly important. You know, we'll see throughout the week, we see kids really engaging and finding connections. What they're learning in school, what they're seeing in the museum, they're also given a pass to bring their families back to the museum and share with them what they have learned. This is serving thousands of kids. It's about 6,000 kids each year. But we've also just started an art mobile. This is a project that, again, is in partnership with the schools. We'll be reaching children in K through 5. We actually have this art mobile that will go out to those schools, and we started in January, so it's just begun. It's a 3-year program, and we expect to reach about 50,000 students. You know, the funding for the arts that I know is part of the current administration's budget plans to cut funding for some of the national arts agencies is really detrimental, because some of what happens in arts education and in arts exposure, particularly for students, all of this helps with the development not just of people who are more empathetic, but people who are problem solvers. Artists are problem solvers. And thinking creatively and out of the box, that is innovative thinking, inventive thinking, those are all 21st century skills. It drives American competitiveness, it drives economic development, it makes us stronger as a nation. So supporting the arts and making sure that our children have access to the arts should be a priority for all of us.
Thanks. I'll just come in a little to that one as well. I think, Kristen, you hit on something very interesting there at the end, which is about the obsession with STEM teaching, which in itself is nothing wrong with that. I mean, we do need all these things very clearly. But if you look where we're heading, in about 20, 30 years, AI is going to be so advanced. When you go to a doctor, you'll stick your finger in a tube, take the blood, and tell you what's wrong with you. We're going to take ourselves out of the jobs in a couple of decades. So what do we need to be doing right now? Well, we need to be looking at the arts. Why? Critical thinking, reasoning, wisdom, justice, empathy, history, civilizations, understanding where we are, understanding where we're going. These are the areas that we cannot have with machines. You can only have with human empathy and understanding. So the arts are more relevant now than they've ever been before. So we have to move away from thinking just black and white.
Susanna.
There was a recent study conducted by Fortune 500 top CEOs. And the question posed was, what is the number one skill that you're looking for in a new employee? And the answer was creativity. And perhaps not coincidentally, if you take the top 20 companies in the Fortune 500, nearly half of their CEOs didn't study IT or economics. They studied some form of the arts.
Here's a quick question. A couple of people have asked if St. Petersburg, Clearwater have any international sister cities.
We don't, but I know that a lot of our municipality partners do. I actually spoke with a group in Clearwater with a sister city from Japan. Nagano. And so we do work closely with all of our municipality partners to make sure that they have materials to take, whether that's printed materials or translated materials. Again, given our international offices, we do have the ability to translate. We also have an in-house Latin America team. So the more that our materials are distributed and spread, the better marketing for the whole destination.
Leroy Bridges, head of digital marketing and public relations for Visit St. Pete Clearwater. Michael Francis, music director of the Florida Orchestra. Susanna Weymouth, executive director of the Tampa Bay Businesses for Culture and the Arts. And Kristen Shepherd, director of the Museum of Fine Arts in St. Petersburg. Thank you so much. That's it for today's show. You can hear it again anytime on our website, WUSFnews.org. Just click on the Florida Matters tab and check out our podcast, Florida Matters More, to hear more discussion on the topic of Tampa Bay as an arts mecca. You can hear it wherever you get your podcasts. Florida Matters is a production of WUSF Public Media. Our engineer is Craig George, and our producer is Stephanie Colombini. I'm Robin Sussingham. Thanks for listening.